learn about Maxi at his website, www.maxicarpenter.com. Please welcome Maxi.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Well, good afternoon. How's the conference going so far? These sessions have been great. I've tried to sit in on each and every one, and I just sat in on Carrie's. Hers is a natural segue into mine. There's so many touch points that we have, and I'm looking forward to sharing those with you maybe from a different perspective. I have two things in common with you on two different levels. Someone asked me a while back, because I tend to be invited to speak at a lot of women's conferences, and I get asked from time to time, well, how did you get into that? How? I said, well, it's normal. I was raised with five sisters and a very strong-willed mother and a very strong-willed grandmother. My father traveled a lot, so I grew up being in touch with myself in a big way, you know, because being empathetic, tuning in, really listening, really focusing, those are qualities and characteristics I came by very honestly. So we had that in common. The second thing is that during my career at Walmart, I spent 20 years mostly out in the field, but then the last 10 years of my career, I was promoted into corporate. And that was the first time, really, that I had to have an administrative assistant. And so over the course of that last 10 years of the company, I probably had about five different administrative assistants. And I came over that time to learn a lot about how that relationship needs to look from my perspective. Not from, and I will share this as a disclaimer right off of the very front end. All of the presentations that I give and all of the recommendations and advice that I share are from the perspective of one who really loves to delegate and empower and trust. I am the furthest thing from a micromanager that you could possibly imagine. So how many of you have worked for micromanagers? And it wasn't your most pleasurable experience, was it? How many of you work for one now? A few of you do. Even the guy on the audio says, yeah, I work for one now. So everything I'm going to share with you is from a perspective of one who really, and quite honestly, even in my corporate, previous corporate life, the individual that I reported to was a micromanager and actually critiqued me quite often from the perspective of, you delegate too much. You give too much responsibility to individuals. But that's my nature, and so I'll just share that disclaimer right off of the gate. So I'm going to share a lot of things with you in the next hour that might help you with someone who may be micromanaging, or even if that's your nature or your characteristic. How many of you would qualify or characterize yourselves as micromanagers? One person. That's being really honest. Okay. When people ask me what I really do, it all boils down to one word, and you're going to see a lot of that today, and that is that I encourage people. So I want to have a little fun right off the gate, right off the bat here, and I want to have you help me visualize something. Let's pretend, just for the next minute or so of this clip, that I'm your executive and that you're my administrative assistant and that we happen to be in the break room. And this incident you're going to see happens many times, but I ran across this clip, and it is really the best reflection in my mind of how I really love to encourage people. Now, maybe not this aggressively, but it's how I really love to encourage people.
Oh, you're not just going to walk away and give up.
Stuck.
You can get that. That's yours. Nobody else. Get in there and give it some heat. Give it some heat. Get in there. Get in there. And you get it. You go in there. And you don't get it. You get it. That's the one right there. You get it. Yes. All right.
You ever had that happen? Stuck in the vending machine, right? Have you ever had anybody encourage you like that? Okay. All right. I'm going to encourage you like that today because that's what I really enjoy doing. I love to encourage people. So I ran across that clip. I've showed that clip 1,000 times, and I will show it 1,000 more times and get the same reaction every time because it is just a great reflection of how we live life sometimes. Here's our four discussion points for the next hour or so. What the executive and the administrative assistant should expect from each other. I remember the first time I had an interview with a potential administrative assistant. And I remember the look on her face when I asked her, I would like to know what your expectations of me are. And she looked at me like I was crazy. What do you mean, what I expect of you? I said, well, you know, we're going to be working a lot together. We're going to be in close proximity to each other. We're going to spend a lot of time with each other. So I would like to know what you expect from me. And they really had to sit there and think hard about it, okay? And I really would like to see environments created where we don't have a misunderstanding about what our expectations of each other are. So I really like to know what the expectations are. Vice versa, and we'll explore that a little bit. Second, how a professional administrative assistant manages up. Now keep note, right off the bat, I use the word professional in front of administrative assistant because you're professionals. Sometimes you may not be viewed that way in your work environment, but you are professionals, very much so. And so how do you manage up? You're going to see manage up as a term that's going to be used more and more going forward, and let me tell you why. Excuse me. Over the last 5 years, excuse me, basically since 2008, we've seen more organizational restructuring than we've ever seen in the history of this country. How many of you happen to be restructured out of a job? It's happened to a ton. Netta, we were just talking about it earlier this afternoon. It happens. Okay, guess what? I can raise my hand too. It happened to me quite a long time ago, but it was the same process, and it doesn't feel good. But a byproduct of the organizational restructuring has been that when you structure wisdom and maturity out of the workforce for the sake of bringing less qualified or less compensated people into the environment, because let's face it, on the face of it, that's what is happening, then the environment that starts occurring is you have less experienced supervisors over more experienced subordinates. Ergo, the need to know, how do I manage up to someone that might be intimidated by me? How do I manage up to someone that micromanages me? How do I manage up to someone who doesn't like to be challenged? And so we're going to talk a little bit about how you manage up in your position. And the next one, how conflicts are managed from both perspectives. And I have a little bonus for you a little later on when we get to that piece that I'll share with you. And then fourth, how to develop mutual trust and avoid unhealthy assumptions. It's been my experience that of all the relationships in the workplace, the one that can most easily be taken advantage of by either individual is that one between the executive and the administrative assistant. In some situations, that individual may be, you may be the individual that individual spends more time with even than their spouse. And so there is a tendency for unhealthy assumptions to occur. And we're going to explore that a little bit too. But the first thing I want to do to you is my favorite topic in school was history. I loved history. And I still love history to this day. And I thought, what better way to prepare to talk to you than to go back and explore the history of the administrative assistant. And so, look at that. Mercy, how you've changed. Now, my grandmother, when she was alive, and then my mother, who had just turned 80, they used to work in office pools. This is the old 1950s office pool. And I can remember, you know, actually going to visit, you know, that office pool and seeing those rows and rows of secretaries all lined up, collaborating together, actually gaggling together, you know. And that's how the old-time office and the assistants used to look. Now, you also had, let me go to the next one. Before I do that, let me go back a minute. We've had a lot of changes since 1950, not only in the way we look in the way we communicate with each other, the way we interact with each other, but also in the kind of tools and equipment we use, as you would imagine. So when the computer started first coming into the environment, did any of you ever have an experience like this?
Schon vom 21. Jahrhundert gehört?
Could have happened. I don't know. You know, I love getting foreign commercials because you don't have to understand the language at all. You get it by looking at it. He told his assistant, you know, why don't you go get a computer instead of the old typewriter, okay? And she did. And look what happened. That's, again, one of my favorite clips, okay? Well, here's how we look now. How about that? All shapes and sizes, and how many of you can really resonate with that one right there? Okay? That's you, isn't it? That's you. I mean, and some of you probably have more arms than that. Depends on how far. There was one lady in here earlier, I think her name was Vicky, that said she's in charge of 90 people. Okay, I don't know if she's got 90 arms, but I bet she probably thinks she does on some days. But you can see it takes all shapes and sizes, and you can see the appearance of all the technology. Now, the next clip I'm going to show you is probably a common occurrence. It's even happened to you. But what we have to understand now about the way technology has evolved is that we may not have as much control over technology as we think we do.
Change your copy paper. Double A, double quality paper.
That's a commercial from England for copy paper, which, again, very unique. But, you know, who knows where the transformation of technology is going to go? I mean, they're trying to get technology to do everything for us, you know, even robotic in nature. I wish them well because they'll never make that happen because we're human. We will always control the technology to some degree. But look at this 20 years ago, the history of the administrative assistant. How many of you remember the old Olivetti?
I remember that.
Oh, yeah. Isn't that amazing? I saw your head. I saw your body language. Yeah, I remember that old typewriter. And you know why I remember that? One of the things that my mother made me do, was take typing in high school. In my junior and senior year, typing one, typing two. I was the only male in that class. I remember it very clearly. It's in 1967 and 1968, and I was so embarrassed to be the only male in the all-girl typing class. And I was a basketball jock, so you can imagine the ridicule that I took from my teammates. Oh, you're going to typing. Yeah. Well, guess what? I turned out to be really good at typing. I mean, blazing good. And to this day, that thing she made me do has probably given me the biggest competitive advantage in any workplace I've ever had. It's also really done well for me in establishing my relationships with my administrative assistants because there's a lot of things I didn't need them to do for me because I was a better typer than they were. And they didn't mind that at all. Yes?
My husband, I think, was the only male in his typing class, and he typed faster than any of the girls, and he can type faster than I type.
There you go. Yeah. I'm telling you, especially when I got promoted into the corporate arena, the ability to navigate all of that myself was immeasurably advantageous. I can't even begin to tell you. And so this picture with that old Olivetti typewriter really resonates with me. But what I want you to look at is 20 years ago, just getting into your position wasn't really that big of a deal. Okay? Computers were new. Basic skills required would have been the following. Look at this. Hopefully a high school graduate. Good aptitude for spelling, grammar, 30 to 40 words. Shorthand was a bonus. You can do shorthand? Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Don't tell anybody you can do shorthand. I just want you working for me, nobody else. Don't tell anybody you can do shorthand. Professional dress, good communication, people, phone, and look at that. Expected starting pay, maybe $8 to $12 an hour. That was 20 years ago. Now, look at 10 years ago and see how the environment changes a little bit. There's that computer screen. 10 years ago, computer skills were the way you got your foot in the door to be an administrative assistant. If you knew that computer, man, you were good to go. High school graduate and or business school or associate degree was a bonus. See the change? A little bit more education. Boy, if you happen to have the associate degree or any kind of business school, man, you were in demand, okay? And then 40 to 50 word minimum, knowledge of all the Microsoft stuff, and then look at the starting pay, $10 to $15 an hour. Didn't move very much, did it? Hadn't moved very much today, has it? Now, today, the evolution of technology includes skills to navigate the internet, high level of understanding with various software packages, and I can go on and on. But look at the basic skills. Business school or associate degree is a minimum now. Bachelor's degree preferred. Now, just as a litmus test, not as an indictment, because let me just sit in your chair with you. I didn't get my bachelor's until 2009. I became VP of the people and training division for the largest company in the world because everybody just assumed I had it. And nobody ever asked. Because what I was really, really good at was I absorbed knowledge. I was thirsty, and I took every training course they could throw at me. And I read insatiably, and I learned. I kept up by learning. And when my career at Walmart ended was the day they started asking me if I had a degree. And so I retired in 2000. In 2009, I finally got my degree. So how many of you have your bachelor's? Okay. Anybody working on a bachelor's? Yeah. Yeah, Netta, we were just talking about that. Okay. And that's how the landscape is changing. Typing 100 word per minute minimum now. That's the minimum. Okay. Now, how many of you are sitting there saying, I'm glad that doesn't apply to the position I'm in? Okay. Yeah. Absolutely. Because, you know, the one qualification that's changed that I hate hearing is now the bachelor's is now the MBA. Well, I got to tell you something, and you feel this way too. I know you do. There's a lot of MBAs walking around can't carry my briefcase, right? There's a lot of bachelors walking around that can't carry your briefcase. And you know that, don't you? But boy, the world ain't fair, is it? It's not fair. But this is what's actually happening. And then you look at the knowledge that's required on the Microsoft. It's going up into Access now. But look here, expected starting pay anywhere between $13 and $20 an hour. Okay? And I know for a fact everything that an administrative assistant does that I require them to do, and it's a ton. Because, man, if you can take it, I'll give it to you. I will delegate it to you because the better you become at doing my stuff, the better I become at doing other stuff. I used to always tell administrative assistants, your job is to manage things to where you don't need me. And my job is to manage things to where you don't need me. The mutual two-way highway. Now, how many times have you ever worked for somebody that really had that kind of mutual requirement between the two of you? It's rare. It's rare, isn't it? It's really rare, okay? Now, let's take a look at five primary recognitions that I want to share with you, because this is how the environment is going to start changing as we move forward. The request for a bachelor's is simply because the duties for an assistant require more education, knowledge, skills, attention to detail, and the ability to multitask and shift assignments at a moment's notice. The environment is becoming much faster paced. Would you agree with that? Your environments are becoming that way. Okay. You're responsible for a lot of stuff, and all that stuff's happening at the same time. And it's getting more and more so that way every year. As the marketplace, the economy of the marketplace, constricts the number of people that can be allowed into the environment, then the people that are there, their responsibility level does what? It just ramps up. It rises big time. Okay? And sometimes it rises to an overwhelming level, doesn't it? Admit it. Aren't there some days when you drive to work and you pull up in that parking lot and you turn the car off and you just kind of sit there? Well, I don't know if I can do it today. I don't know. Let me just sit here and think about this. Do I really want to go in there today? I don't know. And then there are some days when maybe it's so overwhelming that you do what? Turn around, go back to the house, and call in. I mean, it's really getting challenging out there. My perspective is, again, as I said earlier, comes from having a dependency on the kind of relationship that would keep that environment from being overwhelming for me. That's why I actually scared candidates off by telling them how much I wanted to delegate to them, which was exactly what I wanted to do. I wanted somebody who was willing to embrace that because it just made my job easier. But this is where it's going. The assistant is a representation of the company and the manager executive. A reflection, an absolute reflection and representation. A lot of executives don't get that. They don't look at that individual as more than just a secretary. But that individual is a reflection and a representation of the manager executive. Trust me, the executive level is starting to realize that more and more. The assistant of tomorrow will have to have a global perspective. How many of you work for a global company? Couple of more and more. Well, guess what? It's going to be more and more. The internet is shrinking this world. Big time. Big time. The assistant tomorrow will have to have social skills that are above the norm. Social skills that are above the norm. Social skills, the ability to interact at any level and to interact even on days when you don't want to interact. Even to interact with people you don't want to interact with. It gets harder and harder. If you look at some of the byproducts of the economy that's occurred in the last 5 or 6 or 7 years, it's made people harder to get along with at work because the external influencers are so great. And Carrie was talking earlier about the initiative to go network. And I saw the show of hands when she asked, you know, how many were really like networking? Well, nobody in the room raised their hand. You know, it's not something normally we really like to do. But social skills, that was always the number one requirement that I looked for in an individual, was how interactive they were with me. Because if they were interactive with me, I could count on them being interactive with everyone else that I was responsible for interacting with. And so it's really a requirement that's going to become even greater. And then the pay over the last 20 years does not reflect the increased aptitude and knowledge. You won't disagree with that, do you? That it hasn't accelerated to that degree. You're going to look for that to change because as the requirements of you as an administrative assistant increase and they don't bring more individuals into the environment to absorb the workload, the industry has always responded with compensation. So you are going to see that start increasing, especially as higher education levels get brought into the workplace. Well, let's look at the first one. What are the expectations of an executive? Now look at the picture. What strikes you about that picture?
Just professional dress.
assistant. Absolutely. My point here is it's a two-way highway now. Okay? Parity. You hear about parity coming to the sports arena all the time. Well, parity is coming to the executive workplace too. It could be either one. And that's why what I really want to impress here is that it is a two-way street. It's a mutual exchange that should benefit both individuals. The old hierarchy of you're the subordinate and I'm in charge, those days are just flying by. The skill sets that are required, the knowledge level that's going to be required, is causing that not to be the case anymore. There has to be more of a mutual parity relationship there between the executive and the executive assistant. Professionalism, recognize when there's a need for levity. Now, if you talk to many people that know me, one of the first things they will tell you is that he has a great sense of humor. I can't work without humor. I can't do it. I can't pull it off. You know, I'm serious when I need to be serious, and I'm focused when I need to be focused. But you grow up with five sisters and a strong-willed mother and grandmother, you get humor, okay? You learn humor because it's, for me, it's my defense mechanism. Every one of us have a defense mechanism we use to survive with. Mine's humor. And the day I lose my humor is the day you better check in on me and see what's really wrong. Because something's seriously wrong. Because I've got to have some humor going on. I've got to have something that leverages that work environment so that we can have some kind of fun in that workplace. And I would even tell you that the higher you go up the corporate ladder, that sometimes can be viewed the wrong way, and it may even limit your ascent sometimes. So, but what I mean by professionalism is know when to be professional, but also know when to have some levity in the environment, some levity in the workplace. People need that, especially now. People need levity in the workplace now after what we've come through in the last 5 years with all this financial blow up and this organizational restructuring. Self-discipline. In the absence of instruction, take the initiative. This is what more and more executives are looking for. In the absence of initiative, I could tell you about an exercise that I failed miserably out at Soderquist Center. Anyone ever been out to Soderquist, the Greystone? Up there at Beaver Lake. I went out there one time to observe a summit, a leadership summit, and I participated in a leadership exercise they had. And I failed miserably, and I didn't even know that I failed until after the exercise was over. But what they do is they have this rope in a circle on the floor, and you're blindfolded. There's a three-person team. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? Can you describe what happens?
Are you talking about the one where you have to describe?
Yeah, describe what happens.
Oh gosh, I'm trying to remember. You have a team that can't see what's going on, and then you have another team who have they have the instruction sheet.
Yeah.
They've got all these shapes and things that they have to put in a circle or out of a circle, and then they have to tell them, describe to them how to lay it all out without them being able to see.
You nailed it. And the person that's at the biggest disadvantage is the person inside the circle that's blindfolded.
Yeah.
Because they can't see anything. And they can only take instruction from the person standing in front of them. Okay? And one of the requirements in the exercise is they tell different teams different things, but what they told my team, there were three of us, they told, don't give him any instruction. And let's see what he does. I am not the person not to give instruction to. I mean, if you give me instruction, I am great at following instruction. But if you don't give me instruction, you better strap in. So I got to do something. I can't sit around and wait all day for someone to tell me what to do. And so what did I do? I kneeled down on the ground. I waited 5 minutes. I figured 5 minutes is enough. And I kneeled down and I started feeling around, recognizing items by feel and gathering them and categorizing them. And I failed the exercise because I didn't have enough patience to wait for instructions. Well, I told them after the exercise was over they needed to change their parameters because that's not the marketplace today. That's not what the marketplace is looking for. They're not looking for people, and certainly executives can't afford to have executive assistants that simply sit around and wait for instructions. How many of you are not good at sitting around waiting for instructions? I would hope that every hand in this room would be raised, because that's not what the marketplace requires. I always would tell an individual, look, do not, if you don't get instruction from me in a timely manner, don't wait on me. If you make a mistake, it's fine. Just be sure you let me know you made a mistake. We'll both learn from it. We may both get in trouble, okay? But don't wait, because in the long run, if you wait, it may jeopardize both of us. So get after it. If you're waiting on me, you're backing up. Next one is empathy. I can't tell you how many executive assistants I've walked in. This is a consultant. I walk into a lot of offices and a lot of companies across this country. It's rare when I walk into an office and meet an executive assistant who is really courteous and considerate and outgoing. I meet typically more that are not that way, and then I know immediately when they're not that way. What do I know? Is that the person I'm getting ready to meet is not that way either. That's exactly what I know. Everyone without exception is respected. You'd be surprised how tough that is to pull off the higher you go up in the food chain. We tend to forget sometimes, you know, where we came from. We tend to forget how hard it was for us when we were down there in the ditches toiling, you know, and singing the old labor song together, you know. All of a sudden, we start elevating our career, and we get up there, and believe it or not, this is true of us. It's true of my kids. It's true of adults. We hang around someone long enough, unless we're really, really good at differentiating or modifying, what do? We absorb their characteristics. It's just the nature of things. It's the way it works. And I made sure that the individual that was going to be my assistant understood, I don't care who comes walking in our office door. They're treated with respect. They're invited in. They're thanked for being there. I don't want one person walking out of that office that has a bad thing to say about the way they were treated when they were there. I don't care who it is. And boy, it was tough, because I'd always challenge in interviews. I'd say, think of somebody that you don't like that's in your environment right now. Can you think of that person? Have you got them in your mind right now, somebody that's in your current environment that you don't like? If you don't have someone you don't like, great, that's great. How about somebody in your family you don't care too much about?
I got a bunch of those. Okay.
My challenge to you is, no matter how you feel about them, the next time you see them, go up and give them a hug. Oh boy. Oh boy, I don't know. There's some of them you can't even be in the room for 5 minutes without a fight breaking out, right? I got 5 sisters, 2 of them, I can't be in the room for more than 10 minutes without a fight breaking out. But I still force myself to love them when I see them. Go over and hug them and say, I love you. I know we're going to be fighting in about 10 minutes, but I love you anyway. Yeah, it was fun while that. Let's just love, 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 love. But I know in about 10 minutes we're going to be throwing stuff at each other. It's just the nature of the beast. So we have to force ourselves to be empathetic, no matter what the circumstances are. Self-awareness, you're a reflection of me. I made that notation earlier. I wanted that individual to know that wherever you go, you're representing me. And this is the way I want to be represented. You should expect the same from me. Encourage. I want you to challenge me. Assistants that I interviewed were always put off by that. Well, what do you mean challenge me? I'd say, if you don't agree, I want you to come in and tell me. Tell me you don't like a decision I made. Let me know what's going on. I invite you to do that. I give you special dispensation. Come in and challenge me. How many of you work for somebody like that? That will invite you to come in and challenge. Great. I'm glad to see it. Well, what are the expectations of an assistant? Guess what? They're the same things, just from a different perspective, maybe. Treat me as you would like to be treated. Don't take me for granted. Self-discipline, do those things you can do for yourself. I remember the first administrative assistant I ever had that I hired, came in one day, the very first morning she came to work, she went to the break room, and guess what she did?
Coffee.
She got me a cup of coffee. And I immediately called her in, and her eyes were real big, oh my God, I'm already in trouble. I said, you're not here to get my coffee. Number one, I don't drink it. Never have, never will. You're not here to do those kind of things for me. Okay, I appreciate the thought, but you're not here to do that. And then I would go out of my way to do things for her that she normally wouldn't expect. It's really a two-way street. I'm stressing here that you should require that to be a two-way street. Wait a minute. Empathy. Do not expect the same of me you do of yourself. As an executive, I have to step to a higher standard. I don't expect you to work limitless hours and do things that I wouldn't expect myself to do. I have a higher standard to step to. I always told them that I have a higher standard to step to. Self-awareness, do not take our relationship for granted. It's easy to do that over time, especially. How many of you have been an administrative assistant for the same person over 5 years? 10 years? 10 years?
11 years.
11 years. Does the relationship get taken for granted sometimes?
No. Uh-uh.
You're fortunate.
I am. Very fortunate.
You're very fortunate.
It's,
I'm sorry?
Yeah,
well, there you go. There you go. Oh, man. Absolutely.
He's a very wonderful man. I mean, I have a lot of respect for him.
Yeah. Believe it or not, it's even in a marriage, don't you, over time, start taking things for granted?
Mm-hmm.
It's easy to do. I'm guilty of it. I get called out, too, on a regular basis. And then the courage. Invite me to challenge you. Please invite me to challenge you. How does an executive assistant manage up? Always from a subordinate position. Always from a subordinate position. I need your perspective on something. Can you give me an opinion on something? Can I take a risk here without being penalized? Can I challenge you? There's something that I have to ask you about, but I'm a bit apprehensive. There's something I feel I need to bring to your attention, but I'm not sure how to go about it. That approach, every one of those, is an approach inviting that supervisor to take ownership with me in the process. You'd be shocked how easy that you make that invitation for the person to take ownership with you in the process, then rather than be intimidated by the fact that you're actually challenging them on something, especially a decision they made. The best approach in the world when you're in doubt is to ask a question. It's always in that to ask a question. Now, by the way, I didn't tell you this front. My website is www.maxiecarpenter.com, okay? And you can either go to the website, and I'm going to have this presentation on the website at the close of business today. So if you want the website, if you want the presentation, you can go there and download it for free, okay? And then my email address is simple, maxi@maxiecarpenter.com. I've got a bunch of cards out on the table there, and so please email me, and I'll send it to you as well, okay? How are conflicts managed from both perspectives? Only this way, through understanding each other's personality. There are 7 difficult personalities in the workplace. All of us contain elements of each one. How many of us think we're really pretty good people overall? Okay? Good personalities. It's because we balance all of those. Well, what you need to know is, the key to understanding is knowing which one of those traits are dominant. Identify the trait, identify the reactions, responses that are pretty consistent with those traits, and then strive for balance and consistency. Now, here's the little bonus for you, okay? I wrote a little book called Managing Difficult People in the Workplace. It's a little pamphlet, a guide to helping you manage what you see there. Those are those 7 difficult personalities. You ever work for a hostile aggressive? Sure. The super agreeable? And then the minute you're out of the room, they're going, that's the craziest idea I ever heard of. Oh my gosh. Wasn't that just the stupidest thing you ever heard of? I've worked for somebody like that before. Aggravates the heck out of me. Okay? The complainer. the silent unresponsive. You never know what they're thinking. You got to drag them to the creek to drink. You got to drag them to participate. The negativist, it'll never work. 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 The know-it-all. How many of you? Oh, absolutely. Wears you out, doesn't it? It's even worse if they actually do know it all. Even worse. Okay? If you'll email me, I will send you a PDF copy of that little book. That's my bonus to you today. Okay? It's a guide to handling each one of those difficult personalities. More importantly, it helps you understand traits you see that you may not know how to approach. Really neat stuff to have. You could surprise your executive by understanding the personality a little bit more and trying different things.
You don't have the controller up there.
I'm sorry?
You don't have the controller up there.
The controller? the micromanager?
That's probably the know-it-all.
Yeah.
They probably fall into that.
Yeah. The hostile aggressive is actually the controller. It is the dominant leadership personality still in the United States today. Unbelievable.
Let me tell you, when you got a one and a six combined.
Yeah, strap in, huh? Absolutely. And then how do you develop mutual trust and avoid unhealthy assumptions? I can't say it enough. The answer is communication. I use this term a lot, and people want me to kind of elaborate a little bit. It's a communication protocol. Have a communication protocol in place. It's simply a schedule that we keep consistently without fail. How often are we going to meet? I had a set schedule that my assistant and I met every week without fail. We never missed. We sat down, we had an hour meeting. She was to bring anything she wanted to discuss. I had my list to bring to discuss. We never missed that meeting, because if we missed that meeting one time, what happened? Something went crazy. Something went haywire. Something went haywire. The third step is step up when you foul up. Do it right away. Do it in person or on the phone. Not via email, not via voice message, not via text. You got to have some personal physical contact there by voice or in person. And then full disclosure. Okay, how bad is it really? Don't color it over. Don't shade it. I want to know how bad it is. If we're going to survive together here, I want to know how bad it really is. And then acknowledge consistently. Again, don't take it for granted. Don't take anything for granted. Recognize both the plus and the minuses. Value each other accordingly. Now, I'm going to also challenge you to kind of put the shoe on the other foot, because you'd be shocked to know that maybe any positive acknowledgement that your executive got came solely from you, because they need to be encouraged too. They don't always get encouragement from the upper level of government. It's always a full court press to perform and produce. And sometimes they don't get the same kind of acknowledgement that they may turn around and give to you, or that you may turn around and give to them. I always made sure to let my assistant know, not only do I want you to challenge me, but if I'm doing something that you think would benefit others, please let me know. That was validating for me. It validated my decision making. With all of that being said, the executive assistant and the executive really is a package deal. I can't think of a relationship in the workplace where two people need to be more on the same page 24/7 than that relationship. And I know, by the way you're nodding your head, you know that's an absolute fact. How many of you know that your executive without you would be a noodle in a noodle bowl? What do I do next? How many times have you been off and you've got called? You know, where's this? Where's that? You know, it's just the way it works. Great relationship to have. So with all of that being said, again, my cards are on the table out front. I've given you the contact information. Email me. I'll send you the PDF on managing difficult people in the workplace. And I'll have the presentation on the website this evening. You can download it at your leisure. And thank you so much for having me.